Hi, this is Rabbi Eric Levy. I am pleased to bring to you the final Mishnah, Mishnah Chet of Chapter 6, and then we'll go on to Chapter 7 of Vava Metzia for OU Shnayim Mishnah program. Hamavir chavit me makom, mi makom lemakom, vishavira, bein shomer chinam, bein shomer sachar, yishava. So the Tanna Kama says that whether you are a shomer chinam, whether you're shomer sachar, it doesn't make a difference, paid or unpaid, if you move a barrel that you're watching over from one place to another place, so what you do is you swear that you didn't do anything irresponsible, and then you don't have to pay. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Zeb ze yishava, v'tamani micholim zeb ze yishava. So Eliezer says, listen, he agrees. He heard the same halacha that you're supposed to take a swear. The only problem is that both Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar swear that they didn't do anything irresponsible. But he's amazed at the whole issue. He's amazed that the two could swear anything. Why? Because in the case of a Shomer Sachar, it's only if it's a complete accident that you're not responsible for. Shomer Sachar is responsible for loss and theft, and there's no question that the loss happened because the Shomer Sachar was moving it from one place to another. And even by Shomer Chinam, a Shomer Chinam is not responsible for loss and theft. However, he can't swear that he's not responsible for what went on. It broke while he was moving it from place to place. So Rabbi Eliezer agrees that that's the law was stated, but he disagrees with the Tanna Kama that one shouldn't be amazed by such a thing. So it appears that the Tanna Kama feels that they could really swear and that from the Torah's perspective, they're not responsible. What Rabbi Eliezer is saying is, yes, I heard that halacha, but I'm telling you that from the Torah's standpoint, you should not be able to get off with a swear. What this is rabbinic law, which is saying, listen, moving something that you're watching from place to place is such a basic part of doing the watchman's job that if you're going to make them responsible for it, Shomer Sachar or Shomer Chinam, then nobody's going to want to be doing the job of being a watchman, and there will be terrible social consequences. You'll never be able to get anybody to watch anything for you. So therefore, the rabbis gave him a pass in this case, but it's just a rabbinic law, not a Torah law. And now on to the next chapter, which deals with the issue of day laborers as opposed to artisans and contractors, which was the main focus of this chapter. Chapter 7, Mishnah Aleph. Hasocher et apoalim ve'amar lahem lashkimu lahariv. So if you hire day laborers and you tell them to work from sunrise to sunset, makom shenogu shelo lashkim v'shelo lahariv einu rishai lekofam. If it is the custom of that place not to work from sunrise to sunset, you can't force them to do so. Now, the issue at hand here is actually the commute. If the commuting is part of the day's wages, then essentially they leave at sunrise, and they'll get to you, say, a half an hour after sunrise. And if the commute home is part of the day's wages, they're going to leave a half an hour before sunset. And even though they worked a little bit less than a full day because they only came after their commute after sunrise started, and they left earlier than sunset because they needed time to get home from their commute, you still have to pay them a full day's wages. However, if the custom of the place is that the commute is not part of the day's wages, then they would have to leave, say, a half an hour before sunrise in order to get their bing right on sunrise, and they would have to leave after sunset or bing on sunset, and the fact that it takes them a half an hour to get home, that's their problem. So the issue here is commuting time, whether it's sunrise, sunset, or both, morning or evening or both, part of a day's wages, or is it not part of a day's wages? And the answer is it's the makom shenagu, which means whatever the custom of that place is, that's what you do. Now, in all of these cases, it's the issue is where you didn't stipulate exactly what the commute issue would be. All you did was say to the workers, hey, I want you to work from morning to evening. And because you didn't specify whether that would commute or whether that would include commute time, so therefore you have to follow the custom of the place. This whole Mishnah is really only an issue because the agreement language is vague. And continue on to the next vague issue. Makom shenagu lazon, yazon. L'sapek b'mtika, yisapek. So, you also have to follow the custom of the place, hakol k'minhaga medina, when it comes to food. If the custom of the place is to feed them, and you didn't stipulate one way or the other, then you have to feed them whatever the custom of the place is. And if the custom of the place is to give them mtika, which is sweet things, I think that means in addition to the food, you also give them side dishes, sweets, whatever it is, then you have to do that as well. related to that issue of whether you have to give them food or not, assuming that it is stipulated or not stipulated, we're going to have a case where it's sort of stipulated. Masa b'Rabbi Yochanan ben Mati ashamar livno, tsei schor lanu poli. So he said, listen, go out and hire us a bunch of day laborers. Halach pasak lan mazonot. So he did, and he stipulated that they get meals as part of the deal. Kishabayitz laviv, amar lo, so he came back to his father, and his father said, holy cow, son. Well, it doesn't say holy cow in the Mishnah, but you get the idea. Even if you make them gigantic meals like the feasts of Solomon in his time, as Jews, as the children of Israel, the children of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, there's no limit to the amount that they can feast, and therefore there go the prophets, and probably this next year's prophets also, all are going to go down in these super meals that they're going to have to demand because you said to them, oh, we're going to pay you meals. So go out before they start work. If you remember, once they start work, then going back is more difficult for a day laborer. But if they haven't started work, you give them a phone call or run over to them or whatever it is based on the time that you're living in, and you say, listen, no. Let me specify that when I said meal, I meant bread, pot, like pita, the kidneyot, and beans. That's what you get. You don't get to eat unlimitedly, in an unlimited way. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer lo ayat sarich lomar hakol k'minhag amedina. So Rabbi Shimon heard what Rav Yochanan did. He was like, you know, the whole thing was completely unnecessary. When his son said meal and didn't stipulate exactly how big or small the meal was, you simply go after the custom of the place. And if the custom of the place is bread and legumes, that would have been fine. It's not an open, whenever you have something vague in a contract and you might think the issue is completely open to deciding what was really meant, the answer is it's not completely open. You just look at the custom of that place, and whatever the custom is regarding that particular issue, that's what you go with.